It began with a dream. As mind became one with the machine, our consciousness was immersed in a digital reality as real as any other. We struggled to keep spirit alive, but saturated by media, we lost our ability to dream and longed for escape from the ravaged earth. And so, it was given to us. A portal into a world of designer dreams, crafted for our escape. All who could afford the delights of the virtual fulfilled their desires in a realm of endless possibilities. A new breed of performer was born, whose dreams would be the opiate for the masses.
The following podcast contains some adult language and content. Proceed with caution. Hi, my name is Randy. I will be your host for this episode of Infotainment, my 30th episode, and that deserves some fanfare, I believe. I'd like to welcome you, and especially you to the program today. Welcome to all the fun, festivities, and frivolity that my regular listeners have come to love.
Ooh.
Without further introduction, let's get started, shall we? My first topic is a very, on the docket today is a very somber one, and I'm going to keep the editing to the minimum on this. It's been a very difficult week for me and my fellow co-workers, because on Monday of this last week, a co-worker of ours fell to his death from a 17-foot fall, approximately. And this will be one of the most difficult topics I've ever tried to handle. But there's been some debate whether this was a fall or this was an actual leap of faith into the unknown. But, excuse me for a moment. I wanted to make this sound conversational because I don't want to edit this too much or make it sound like I'm reading something. And the guy was only 20 something years old, and you just don't understand suicide, if that's what it was. What could drive a person to get so low? And I'll admit, I've had some times where I've had to seek help for depression, as I've gone through my depressive states. But I didn't work with this person directly, but I chatted with him a few times. And I don't know, very quiet kid. At some point, you got to say, man, I need some help. I'm thinking about doing something that's unchangeable. You got to implore people, seek help, counseling, therapy, something. Talk to a friend. Do whatever it takes, you know, not to take your own life. Excuse me, another moment. But I do want to read a little bit. I talked with a friend of mine from my school days, Wild Bill, we'll call him, and he wrote some words that seem very appropriate at this time. Well, let me bring that up here. death is the one topic or event that everybody seems to handle or accept in their own way, not really knowing what to say, what to do, or even how to feel. Emotions and thoughts run wild. Life on Earth always has a little change of direction and value when anyone dies. Even in our own little world, we have looked up the family tree to see our parents, aunts, uncles, and grandparents ahead of us in life. Then at some point, you look up the ladder on the family tree and you realize that there is nobody above you. All of your family members are now below us on that ladder of life. And, it's just a sad, sad deal. You wish the kid would have talked to somebody, a coworker or counselor. And I know I'm repeating myself. I apologize for that. But, let me check something here. And that's why this episode is titled Suicide is Painless. If you remember the old sitcom, MASH, that was the theme song. That's all I'm going to say about the previous depressing topic, and except to play the theme song from MASH. Hope you enjoy it. And we'll move on to the regularly scheduled program. The next item on the podcast docket today is the crybaby of the week, chosen from two news stories. First up, we have a guy sues Applebee's because he burned himself while praying over fajitas. It's time once again to marvel at some idiots who didn't know how to handle the world. And the first crybaby is Hiram Jimenez. The guy burned himself after attempting to pray over some Applebee's sizzling fajitas. Actual response being less stupid in the future. But that would have been the appropriate response. But the actual response was he attempted to sue Applebee's for not warning him they were hot. Way back in March 2010, Hiram Jimenez and his brother Raphael visited an Applebee's restaurant in West Hampton, New Jersey. Jimenez bought a steak fajita, which was brought to him in a sizzling skillet. According to court records, the waitress did not warn him that the food was hot, presumably because that's not the thing that waitresses do, as generally if you're ordering food in a restaurant, you're doing so under the assumption that it'll be served to you hot. Especially if the food is brought to you in an audible sizzling skillet and emitting smoke, as Applebee's fajitas generally are. After getting the food, Jimenez says he bowed his head over the dish and began to pray. As he was doing this, he claims that there was a grease pop from the fajita plate, which burned his face. Jimenez then panicked and pulled the fajita skillet onto his lap, causing burns to his legs, according to the court documents. According to a report on NewJersey.com, Jimenez decided to sue Applebee's in 2013. The case was dismissed after the judge ruled that the danger posed by putting your face next to a pile of smoking, sizzling meat and vegetables was open and obvious. Jimenez appealed the case earlier this week, almost 5 years after the incident, was told that he would not be getting any damages. And now we have the second crybaby of the week, Kezia Perkins. They got her mugshot up here. Boy, she looks angry. This woman, she had no handicap tags on her car, and she lost out to a handicap parking space to a woman with handicap tags. The appropriate response would be parking in a regular space, and the actual response was she allegedly chest bumped the other woman to the ground, seriously injuring her. Earlier this week, the 32-year-old Kezia Perkins was attempted to park her car in a handicap spot at Walmart in Greenfield, Wisconsin. As she tried to maneuver the car into the space, another car driven by a 71-year-old woman pulled into it. The 71-year-old who took the spot had valid handicap tags. Though Perkins had her handicap tags on her car, there was neither valid nor not registered in her name. Her license had also been suspended. Surveillance footage shows that despite this, Perkins approached the other car and began shouting at the elderly driver through the passenger window for taking the space. It's not clear what was shouted, but the 71-year-old attempted to exit their car and make her way into the store. As she did this, Perkins can be seen on the surveillance footage knocking her to the ground. One witness said Perkins had chest bumped the woman. According to a report on Fox News 6, Perkins told police, "It's not my fault. The elderly woman bounced off my big chest." As a result of being pushed to the ground, the woman required 5 hours of surgery to treat a fractured femur and fix a hip replacement that was messed up from the fall. In a statement, Perkins' attorney said that she is innocent. This was an unfortunate incident that came about after a misunderstanding between two individuals. Miss Perkins is herself disabled. However, the fact that her disability is not immediately noticeable led to confusion between the two women. More than anything, this case highlights the need for individuals to be aware and sensitive to the fact that many people who suffer from disabilities and ailments are not ailments that are not always readily noticeable. We believe that the facts will come out as in this case, and that ultimately Ms. Perkins will be cleared of the charges. The attorney did not specify which unnoticeable disability Perkins has that causes her to knock off old ladies onto the ground. Which of these two news stories is a bigger crybaby? You can vote now. RandyMS12@gmail.com if you'd like to. My next news item on the podcast docket is from The Onion. I love The Onion. And it's Dateline Chicago. And I got a picture here of a man and woman sitting at a bar and displaying the fortitude and mettle of only the most battle-hardened warriors. Local man Corey Watts courageously overcame the body language of a woman at O'Houlihan's pub to continue hitting on her. Sources confirmed Thursday. Reports indicate that despite the woman's folded arms and lack of eye contact, the fearless soul bravely pressed on with several pointless anecdotes. While a lesser mortal might have retreated after the woman checked her phone for the fifth time in 3 minutes, the valiant Watts reportedly summoned the inner current strength to offer to buy her a drink once she finished the one she was working on. According to witnesses, the intrepid adventurer then shifted his body in an effort to remain facing her after she began to rotate away, soldiering on to compliment the smile that she had no point of presenting to him. As the woman hastily began paying her tab and putting on her coat, sources confirmed that the man with the heart of a lion plunged ahead one final time and asked if he could have her phone number. Boy, I feel like that sometimes. There's this gal that works at this restaurant. Ooh, I like to get her phone number. But I don't think that's going to happen. But that's I love The Onion. That's a pretty decent story. Local man, Corey Watts. Next up on the podcast docket is could come under the heading The Pot Calling the Kettle Black. Sex addict Russell Brand's unexpected anti-porn crusade. Russell Brand, a self-described sex addict and sexy narcissist, has claimed to have sex with over 2,000 women and has lobbied against condoms and porn. So why is he blasting the XXX industry? In the latest crusade against porn, an unlikely candidate has emerged. British actor, aspiring political commentator Russell Brand. In Brand's words, there's a general feeling, isn't there, in your core, if you look at pornography, this isn't what's the best thing for me to do. This isn't the best use of my time now. Funny, Russell Brand, this also describes the way I feel after playing an hour of Candy Crush. It's one of those games that sucks me in with its colorful little gems, teasing me with a near win. I'm always just one game away from the next, almost unbeatable level. I try not to play in public, secretly ashamed of what I'm doing. Worse, I'll even admit to buying extra moves here and there. It's not an addiction per se, but nothing I'm particularly proud of. And it's certainly not the best use of my time, but I wouldn't condemn it because I believe in taking responsibility for my choices. Even if you haven't seen Forgetting Sarah Marshall or Get Him to the Greek, you may recall Russell Brand's name splashed across a plethora of tabloid headlines as Katy Perry's ex-husband. In the past, Brand has used his notoriety, beguiling Britishness to sort of push for political change, publicly lambasting bankers, and now to denounce porn, which he did last week on his unfiltered web series, The Trues. Brand's tags the show as The True News, so you don't have to invent any money in buying newspapers. Invest any money in buying newspapers. Sorry, can't read today. That charge you for the privilege of keeping your conscience imprisoned in a tiny box of ignorance and lies. While Brand has some interesting things to say, this particular rant feels more like a case of guilty conscience. In his books, My Bookie Wook, Brand wrote about losing his virginity at 17 to a bevy of Filipino prostitutes flanked by his father and sans protection. He's a described sexy narcissist who was once so strung out on heroin that he wanked off a man in a public toilet and in 2005 checked himself into a sexual addiction treatment center in Philadelphia. He's also reportedly boasted of sleeping with over 2,000 women and has even spoken out against condoms, the condom mandate in porn, saying that's going to take the fun out of it. One of the many highlights of being in the porn industry is unprotected sex. Yes, Brand is a celebrity who not only admits to voraciously consuming porn, but has now publicly blamed it for his own limitations. It's not his fault he objectifies women. He also cannot be held responsible for abandoning monogamy. Porn apparently encourages promiscuity too, and he cannot wait to tell you about all of it. High on his celebrity soapbox using the internet megaphone, Brand casts hilarious blame unto himself, but not unto himself, but unto porn. And porn is bad because, according to Brand, our attitudes towards sex have become warped and perverted. While there's plenty of extreme adult content floating out there, like any entertainment medium, it is ridiculous to lump all of porn into one category. There is plenty of romantically tinged erotica out there, too. All you have to do is search. You know, look away from the hard stuff. And isn't that more a question of personal sexual appetite, of free will? Legendary pornographer Holly Randall creates the kind of porn Brand gives no credit to. I really like shooting real-life couples, because obviously there is a level of love and intimacy there, and it's the entire crux of my Playboy TV show, Adult Film School, which is about real-life couples who want to do a sexual fantasy video, says Randall. Even when I do shoot professionals, when I shoot boy-girl, I always let the girl choose who she wants to work with. I want that chemistry. Randall admits that on a personal level, there are certain types of pornography that make her cringe, and yet she believes in her right to exist due to freedom of expression. She works hard to produce female-friendly content that glorifies women, their sexuality, and their beauty. When it comes to objectifying women, Randall sees mainstream media as the culprit. Advertising and fashion magazines show unrealistic bodies and women who don't age. Hiring 14-year-olds to model clothes marked towards 35-year-olds. If anything, porn embraces women with different body types. Plenty of men and women consume porn in a responsible way, deriving pleasure from erotic media without adverse consequences. In fact, according to a recent study, 66% of American men and 41% of American women check out porn at least once a month, and an estimated 50% of overall internet traffic deals with sex. Most men I know watch porn, and many of them are in committed, healthy relationships. They aren't blaming adult entertainment for their shortcomings, whereas Brand, instead of finding fault with himself, criticizes porn for its bad influence. He's just the victim, obviously. Maybe porn isn't the culprit here. Perhaps his latest anti-porn crusade reflects Brand's true struggle with accountability. On some level, I can relate to him, says Holly Randall. It's no secret that he's had addiction problems. I think his situation where he's blaming porn for his sex addiction, that's like me if I blame alcohol for my addiction problems. It's no secret either that I'm a recovering alcoholic. That's a demon I have to deal with. So for him to lump porn into this category of destroying America and relationships, and his situation with promiscuity, that says more about him and is his issues than it does about porn. Yeah, I think Russell Brand should have a Coke and smile and shut up. Next up on the podcast docket, in Lincoln, Nebraska, this is from the Associated Press, a man in Lincoln, Nebraska has been cited for possessing pot inside a container that has been slapped with the label reading, not weed. The Lincoln Star Journal reports that Lancaster County deputies stopped the man's vehicle around 9 p.m. Saturday. Officers found the plastic sour cream container during a search of his car, and the driver acknowledged that the pot belonged to him. He was arrested on suspicion of drunken driving and cited for having less than an ounce of marijuana. Yeah, that's where I always keep my weed, in the sour cream container. But how stupid is that? Well, by the looks of the clock on the wall, this podcast is coming to a close. I'd like to thank everyone who's listened to my 30th podcast. That deserves some celebration, I think. But I'd like to thank everyone who's listened to it, whether you listened by laptop, desktop, iPad, pod, or phone, MP3 player, Android phone. However you listen to it, thank you. And if you found my website, infotainmentpodcast.com, you'll find a little donation button there so you can financially donate to my efforts here if you are so inclined. And you can also tweet my Twitter at infotainmentpod. That's P-O-D, infotainmentpod, P-O-D. At Twitter. And I'd like to thank everyone for listening. Until next time, bye bye, folks. Now, baby, I'm prepared to say.
start low. Some people think they're gonna die someday. I got news, you never got to go.
Look out! Hey! Yeah! Happy Independence!